Again, we just want to welcome you this morning. It's the last of the series this morning, so it's bittersweet. It's like, oh man, here we go. We're finishing a series, but guess what? With every ending, there's a good beginning, so we're going to jump into another series next Sunday, and that's going to be an exciting one as well. But this morning, we've been just kind of summarize what we've been talking about. We started off with a very simple theme that ran through the series, and that was this, that we got to let go of the good in order to grab hold of the better. You got to let go of the good to grab hold of the better. That oftentimes the things that keep us away from God's best in our life, it's not necessarily the sin in our life, but it's the good in our life. The things that are just kind of casual, the things that you may think, well, that's not a big deal, that's not a sin. Oftentimes, that's the very thing that keeps us from God's best in our lives. And over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've challenged you to go before God and to grab hold of His best, His better for you, so that you can experience just a way different walk with God. But this morning, it's better is to be patient. Better is to be patient. I want to take you to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. And it says this. It says, better. Notice the word better. Better a patient man than a warrior. So you see the contrast here is between a person that is patient and a warrior. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. I'm going to pause there for just a moment because here's this picture of a patient person versus the warrior, and the warrior takes the city. He takes the city. Now, when he takes a city, you got to realize that what he's doing in the process, when a warrior looks at a city, he wants to consume its resources. That's why a warrior goes to a city. He looks at the city, he sees its resources, and he wants those resources, so he conquers that city. Now, those resources might be anything from food, clothing, property, women, all these things. They see that and they want to consume that, and so they go for it, and the warrior takes because he can. That's why a warrior takes. He takes because he can. But what looks good to do is not always good for us to do. Did you catch that? That even though something looks good to do, it doesn't mean that it's good to do. Now, let me give you an example. This last week, I was doing a little research, and one of my favorite companies is Amazon. And for those of you, you know, like 50 and under, you probably know what I'm talking about. Amazon, you know, you go through the computer, and you order online. I guess the thing where you get online, and you order there. And there's this company called Amazon. And what this company does is this, is you order one click away. You click. And if you're a Prime member, which sadly I am, and unfortunately, like, the UPS guys are always coming to my office. You know, they know me by name. They're probably going to give me gifts and during Christmas because they know my name, my middle name even probably. But in 2 days, you get your product. Isn't that cool? It's awesome, right? It's just great. Well, guess what? They just patented this technology called anticipatory package shipping. Try that for a tongue twister. Anticipatory package shipping. And this is what it does. It's a software. And this is what that software does. It anticipates what you would probably buy. All right? So it anticipates your next purchase before you even click the button to buy. And this is what it does. It takes the product it thinks you're going to buy, and it puts it in the nearest distribution center, which would be shirts for us. They're just for me. I say Jesse or Jesus Alberto Lizondo, you know, my real name, you know. I know, now it's people like, what, Jesus? So yeah, they just for me. And so what they do is they'll ship that package there, and then before you even click the buy button, they've already got you in the radar, and they're going to send you that package before you say buy. Yeah. So the idea would be that you would get your package before you even know you need that package. Yeah. So can you imagine UPS guy comes in, he's like, hey, you know, we got this package. You just got to hope that, you know, your spouse hasn't been the one buying and this is your name. You're like, what is this, you know? Or you purchase within the same day you get it. Now, this is my point with that. And that's this. Like, have we come to that? I mean, seriously? That we're so impatient that all we want to do is to buy the bun or not even think about it and we already have the product? We're so eager to consume that we become impatient. And in this passage, it says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper, and the one who takes the city, or the one that consumes everything around him or her. It's better a patient person. Now, this morning, what I want to do is this. I want to go through 5 essential ingredients for godly patience, because we need it. Because it's better to be patient than consume everything around you. And the first principle is this. You got to give room for God's timetable. You got to give room for God's timetable. And by the way, if you're 50 and over, I'm sorry if you do know Amazon. You know, don't send me an email. You know. So go to Psalm, verse 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, 14. And before I read that passage, I want to remind you of the person who's writing this psalm is King David. It's King David. And he says this. He says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And check it out. He's going to say it one more time, just in case you didn't hear it the first time. He says, and wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. It's interesting because King David, from the moment he became the anointed one, that he would become the king, he didn't become king right there and then. It took years. He was a teenager when he was called by God, but he had to wait his turn. And God's timetable for David was very different than when he initially told them he would be king. Now, and here in this passage we see that it's going to take the very power of God and in you to be able to wait, because it says, be strong and take heart. It's going to take some soul power. If you want to be patient and wait on God, it's going to take some deep soul power, because it's really, really difficult. I'll give you an example. This past week, Ziana, you know, wrote a little note for Granny, you know, for my mother-in-law. And she's gone through a lot this past year. You know, last year, her father passed away, Marisa's grandfather. And then this year, her dog got cancer. He got cancer last year, but he passed away this early this year. And she's been really torn about it. And so Ziana, unprompted by us, and we didn't say, hey, Ziana, write a little note, unprompted by us. We didn't say anything. All of a sudden, she comes to us, and she has this little note. And it's just with her just 7-year-old writing. It's like misspelled and everything. She's like, Granny, I love you. And you know, praying for you, you know, that, you know, that grandpa passed away, and that Woofy, you know, passed away. And it just melts your heart as a parent. You see that, and you're like, oh, right? And so I looked at it, and I was like, my sister's like, we got to send it to her. I was like, great, let me take a picture of it, and let me text it to her, right? And my sister's like, you got to be kidding me. Like, whatever happened to mail? I was like, that's snail mail. It takes a while. He's like, no, you got to put the stamp and send it. You see, but it's like we want it in our timetable. And God's timetable is very, very different. Because guess what? She listens to the message, so I'm going to have to tell her not to listen. But, you know, she's going to get that in the mail pretty soon. And she's going to open it. And she's likely going to get really encouraged by it. And it would have been nice to text it to her, but how much more meaningful is it going to be when she actually touches that envelope and she touches that note, and she hears this encouragement thought by her granddaughter. You know, we think we know our best for our life. We think we know it when we want it, and we want it now. But oftentimes, God's timetable is very different, and we think we want it now, but oftentimes, it's God has it. He knows the future. We can all agree to that. He knows the future. You don't, you know? And he knows when is the right time for you to get, if you're going to get, what your heart most desires. It might be that you're here this morning and you're thinking, man, I want a husband or I want a wife. And so you're living a life and you're thinking, you know, instead of waiting for God, I'm just going to go to the nearest bar and see what I can find, you know, like at 2 a.m. Trust me, folks, you ain't going to find much at 2 a.m. You know, you're going to find something, you know, it just won't be much. You know, but it's like God's timetable is very different, isn't it? It's very different. Buying something, you're thinking, you know, I want to buy that whatever it is, that new vehicle, or that new house, or that new game for the game station, or whatever, you know, Xbox. And you're like, I gotta get it now. And it's like, no, you really don't. You really don't. You know, you gotta wait till God's timetable when He moves in your heart and He gives that direction. For some of you, you're waiting on dreams. You feel like God gave you a dream in your heart, and you feel like, man, I just can't wait for that to happen. And instead of waiting for God's timetable, you're taking it upon yourself. And as a result, that might look like this. I'm going to show you an image. Two very important virtues, patience and wisdom. And it's a skunk eating the dog's food, and the dog is just back there, like, patiently waiting. You know, the dog knows best, right? He knows that he could probably get that food, but there's going to be a cost to it. Yeah? It's going to be a major cost. He can bark his way in there and scare that skunk, but in the process, he's going to stink. And that's what we do in life, isn't it? We cut short God's timetable. We compromise whatever it is, sexual purity. We compromise our integrity. We compromise these things to get what we want. In the process, we stink it up. We stink it up. And so here we see that you got to give room for God's timetable. You got to give room for God's timetable. Second, you got to show God's patience towards you, to others. You got to show God's patience towards you, to others. Let me show you in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It says this. This is Paul writing to Timothy, and this is his letter. He says this. He says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. So you're saying, hey, I'm going to share something to you and with you that should be very obvious to you, but if it's not, this is a worthy statement. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom, check this out, of whom, the guy who wrote the most of the New Testament, of whom I am what? The worst. Of whom I am the worst. Just in case you didn't catch it, verse 16, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy. Why? The reason that in me, the what? The worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited what? Patience. Say it with me. Patience. Say it again. Patience. There you go. Display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. So what he's saying is this, saying, I'm the worst of sinners, he's saying. I'm the worst. I mean, there's a guy, a guy who used to be part of chasing after Christians when he was not one, so that they would be crucified. Here's a man who, when he put his faith in Christ, the early Christian world, the early believers were like, I want nothing to do with him. Like, I don't trust that guy. He's got a reputation. His name is pretty bad. And now becomes the architect of most of the New Testament. He says, I'm the worst of sinners, but guess what? God shows his unlimited patience in me. And I'm the story of his unlimited patience. How many of us can say that? Most of us can. How many of us can say, man, boy, I really had life messed up. And God showed his abundant, merciful, unlimited patience on me. He poured it down when I didn't deserve it. And even though I could have, you know, done dumber things, or I could have really wrecked my life even worse, God just showed in me his unlimited patience. And then it says, and the reason for that, it's not only so you can receive that, but so you can give it to others. It says, as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. God wants you to exemplify the patience he has with you to the world around you. Parents, that means you. That when you feel like you want to, get that